welcome to episode 63 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Amy, Sandy, and Elizabeth. There's a famous adage about life that says it's not about the destination, but it's about the journey. However, when traveling, it often really is about the destination, and the journey is just something to endure in order to finally reach that destination. When traveling halfway around the world, flying is really the best option. But how does one face flights that are 8, 12, or 17 hours in duration? Today, we thought we would share our tips for long flights to help you prepare for yours. So let's get started.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that getting there is half the fun, so I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Well, Sandy, perhaps you should take a really long flight.
But my longest flight was 8 hours, so yeah, that was, and I didn't have kids with me. That was me by myself.
So how long, so Robin, what's your longest flight been so far?
Probably about 8 hours also.
Amy?
I think all told, like with all of the layovers, 17 hours, that was going to Hawaii with the kids.
Yeah, mine with layovers to Hong Kong was around 20, I think. But it was a lot of that was on a plane. A lot of it, all in a row, long time.
Yeah, without layovers, mine was probably about 12.
So what do you guys do? Are you concerned with, like, circulation and stuff like that? Do you wear compression or anything like that when you're on a long flight?
I don't. You know, and honestly, you probably should, especially at my advanced age now. Worry about that. I think the key thing is you're supposed to get up and walk around every now and then, and I tend not to do that. I've always been sort of I do not want to.
So you do everything wrong.
I do everything wrong, and so far I'm not dead. But I would really recommend walking around. It is, and now actually, now that I'm older and I'm aware of it, mm-hmm. And I actually had an acquaintance that, that had that issue and passed away. So, yeah. You know, once that happens, it becomes a lot more real. So yeah, you're supposed to get up and walk around every hour and a half or so. So just to keep the circulation going.
And you won't be the only one doing that. Everybody else seems to know about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I pack a lot of snacks. I do my sliced apples and my cheese and nuts. The only thing I don't pack is drinks, of course, but, tons of food, and I'm eating and reading and playing Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid puzzle games can really save you for sure. So I think too, that's, you know, so let's talk a little bit about electronics, because I think that's the first thing that everybody thinks of nowadays is electronics for long flights, especially for your kids. And I do think it's important. I think on some airlines though, you do get personal entertainment systems. So I know when I flew Cathay Pacific to Hong Kong, we had a TV in our seat. We were in economy. And then Delta and United both also for longer flights have the TV in the seat, not just in first class, but in economy as well. So it's no longer everybody's watching the same movie, whether you wanted to watch it or not. You actually get to choose, and it's movies, it's TV shows, there's games, and a lot of them have like kids channels. So you can even set your kids loose on it to, you know, as long as they stick on that channel, they won't run across anything they shouldn't watch.
Yeah. When I was flying to Anchorage, the flight attendants were handing out headphones, or not headphones, but like earbuds. And she was just giving them away to everybody. Mm-hmm. But then on the way back, they were actually charging like $2 or something for them. So, you know, you might be able to get some, you might not, you might want to bring your own, but they were new, you know, they were in a little package. So mm-hmm. That was nice.
Speaking of that, something else you might want to pack is a lot of the airlines now at the seats on the left or the right side will have either regular plugs that you can plug your phone or your electronics into, or a car phone charger. I think mostly plugs, that's what I've seen.
Yeah, so it's good to have both, because you never know exactly what the flight's going to have unless you can look it up ahead of time. But yeah, it's, and you can, that'll, and also some of them now, the flight that I just took back from Hawaii had a USB port, so I didn't even need the plug. I just had the USB part that I could plug in.
Yeah, I bring a backup anyway though, because my phone is on its last leg and it dies all the time. So I always have a backup battery in my purse. So I always whenever I'm with my kids and they all need to plug into something, I have a couple backup batteries that you can plug multiple USBs into, which is nice.
I have one of those too.
Yeah. How many people are sad that the SkyMall is gone?
That is sort of
oh my gosh, that was a huge time. Yeah.
Yes. Time suck.
That was like the funniest thing with the first time my kids flew, and they thought that thing was the funniest magazine mm-hmm. ever. I know. It's like
my
felt like I should
actually ordered stuff from there.
You have?
My husband has.
I've ordered stuff indirectly from there. Like I'll see it in there, but it'll be like from the front gate catalog or what, you know, it tells you which catalog it's actually from. And then I'll go home and look it up that way. I got our pet gate that way.
Robin, was it the Bigfoot statue?
You wanted that, but I said no.
So, and speaking of electronics and carrying over to what something Amy said, Amy, do you have an e-reader or do you bring books?
So my daughter has a Nook. And she used the heck out of that. I still like the old-fashioned book. But they are heavy.
Yes. And I'll say, as somebody who sat next to a gentleman for 17 hours on the flight back from Hong Kong, he read the whole time. He had an old-fashioned book written in Chinese. And he did not put it down for 17 hours. Even when they brought him his ramen, he continued to read. And as someone who wanted to sleep, and I was in the middle seat, his light angled right over my face. Oh. So, one, bring a mask to cover your eyes so that it'll be dark, unless you're in first class, and then they often will give you one. And then e-readers are so nice to your neighbors because especially the new ones, well, the color ones are bad on your eyes. It's not good to look at those for long periods of time. But the backlit, like the paper white from Kindle or the new Nooks, with the sort of backlighting on it, it's really nice because then you don't have to turn on your overhead light so your neighbor can sleep while you read.
This, I know you guys can't see.
You have an iPad, which anything with like the light like that is not actually really good for you as far as sleeping goes. Right. But the ones that emulate paper, like I said, the Paperwhite or Nook's latest.
How do you see them in the dark though?
It has backlighting. It's not LED. It's different. It's like almost using a reading light.
Okay.
With my iPad and with my phone, I changed the way that I read the books. And now I read it. It's black with white writing. And it really helps.
Really?
It helps my eyes. And it that would be great for flights because you wouldn't be getting the light in someone's eyes.
So that's another option. So, Amy, you need a Kindle. You're welcome.
I do. I'm one of those people that loves to browse in bookstores, too. But I found now that I have this job and I've spent a lot more time in airports in the last 3 years, they don't change out the books very much. You know, like I keep seeing the same books there. And, you know.
Wait a minute. What are you saying? Didn't I give you a Kindle for Christmas last year?
Yeah, my husband took it.
Oh,
but I do. I have a Kindle app on my iPad, and I use it all the time. You know, I mean, I really, although it's linked to my kids, and they can see what I read, and they give me grief about it. But you know, it's okay.
The magic of family.
I know, right? Yeah. Although sometimes they read stuff that is pretty interesting too. You know, so I don't know. It's nice to have
my parents.
Hmm?
Mine's linked with my parents.
Oh, no, that's really awkward.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
You know what? I buy the books that I want, and as half the time my dad ends up reading most of the ones that I read.
Does he really? Well, that's funny. My dad doesn't like the kind of books. Well, I don't know. He might like I'll read some Ken Follett and stuff like that. He likes that kind of stuff, you know, but
instead of books, though, my other daughter, my middle child, who shies away from reading, I'll just put it that way. She loved the movies. There were tons of movies on the flights, and she was watching movie after movie. In fact, it was really kind of scary because one of the movies was about a flight going down.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I thought they had a policy not to show those, but I noticed that too, that they just show whatever. So
Yeah, I think they do. Like, I remember, maybe it wasn't the movies you could pick, but there was somebody watching something on a laptop, and I remember thinking, God, you can watch anything, and kids can be like looking over your shoulder. And
well, they had some R-rated stuff on the as choices on the
phone
too. Which, you know, to me, it's kind of like reading 50 Shades of Grey on an airplane. It's like, I don't want to know that the person beside me is reading that. You know, it's great if you want to read it. You know, all this is America and all, but or maybe not, depending on where you're going. But but you know, I don't want to sit next to you if you are. So it's just weird. Likewise, I don't want to look over and
that's the beauty of the e-reader, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, they had a lot of Disney movies on the, and actually the flight that I just took, they had like every James Bond movie ever made. You could have watched them from.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I almost looked up the order before we left so that I could watch them in order. And then I ended up not watching them at all.
I got to watch Avengers again.
And it's usually a wide variety too. They'll have some action adventure. They'll have some romance. They'll have some independent stuff. It's, you know, and they'll have foreign films as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a good chance. I know when I went to Hong Kong, I saw My Life with Marilyn, which was the story of Marilyn Monroe. It was more of an independent. It had Emma Watson in it. And that actor that I always forget his name of, who's brilliant and just got an Oscar. But anyway, it was really, it was great. And I didn't have a chance to see it.
So one of the questions I have, and I should know this, but, and I would know this if someone asked me, because I would definitely look it up. Let's talk about, there's first class, but it's not just first class. And then the rest of us, there's economy and business class and stuff. Mm-hmm. You flew business class, Elizabeth, to Europe, right?
I did. And it was actually the same as first. It was first/business. Sometimes they will combine them. And I see that more and more. It's pretty rare, especially in the long flights. Amy, do you know?
It's Frisbis.
Frisbis, yes. Have you seen any flights lately where there was actually a differentiation between first and business?
So I flew business. They kind of upgraded us on business on the way back from Hawaii. So we were right behind first class. Our seats were bigger and more padded looking. and we had a lot more leg room. And that's it, really. I mean, that was it. But it was, I mean, any little thing on a huge hour flight.
So, but it wasn't a different cabin, right? It was
no, same. We were not.
When we came back from Miami, I think I upgraded to...
Economy comfort.
Yeah.
Or, well, each airline calls it something else. So,
Yeah, but it was those front seats before, like right up at the front, not in first class. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot more leg room and more comfiness.
Well, and that's not business class. That is economy comfort. And it depends on the airline as to how nice that is. So we did that on American on the way to Europe this time. We did economy plus or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And the seats were a little bit bigger with a little bit more leg room, but then there were no added bonuses. Whereas Delta gives you free food, free booze. Yeah. It's not hot food. It's all snacks.
And it depends on the length of the flight as to how much it costs. Because the reason I did it was because it was only like $30 or something. Mm-hmm. But I know for the longer flights, it can be like $60 or more. You know, it can be more.
It was $120 per person on the way back from Hawaii. But we flew from Hawaii to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
So for $120 per person.
Now, did you upgrade the kids too? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, kids go way in the back.
Well, no, because they frown upon that. They don't really like you doing that. So
kids are these.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be one of your techniques, like make sure your kids are in middle seats, way in the back with strangers.
Well, I did fly once where I got upgraded to first, and apparently a family of six had also upgraded themselves to first. But only four of them, because there were only four seats.
Oh.
So they were rotating
into
first class, and it was about to drive the flight attendant absolutely. By the end of it, she was like, you can't keep doing this. You need to pick four people. And then,
It's like Seinfeld. That's so funny.
Yeah. It wasn't that long a flight, thank goodness. But it was.
That sounds like something I would do. I'd be like, let's share this, Robin. Let's share first class.
She's waking me up out of it.
If you're not going to be drinking, go sit back.
Now, another thing that I like to do on any kind of flight, especially a long flight, is keep hydrated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good point.
Because I find that I end up getting really bad headaches when I don't drink enough on the flights.
Oh, that's true.
I've noticed they started coming through more often with cups of water.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you'd always take one. Always take one. Even if you don't feel like you want it. Take one. You need it. Your body.
That's a good way to make sure you get up more too.
It's a good point.
All the strategy. Yeah.
The more you drink. Well, and speaking of drinking and hydrating, that's another thing. A lot of people used to say, "Oh, I'm just going to drink three glasses of wine and then I'll be asleep." But wine and really any booze will dehydrate you. And I know we often advocate the drinking of alcohol on this show, but in this case, I would say stay away from the booze because it will dry you out faster than anything.
It feels like I only drink on trips to like Vegas or where everyone on the plane is drinking, you know, like, yeah.
Well, I will say it did help me to be a little hungover on the way back from Amsterdam because I slept. It was so much easier to sleep. Stay out late the night before and drink. Yeah. But start drinking water as soon as you wake up and then,
Yeah.
And I basically, on that flight, I drank nothing but orange juice and water, and I slept almost the whole way. It was glorious.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, my kids, the longest flight that they've been on is about 5 hours. we're going to be going to Hawaii this summer. And it should be interesting because I haven't done the flights yet, but I know we're going to have some long flights. And some kids, I think it's just making sure that you have things for them to do, like we were talking about with the electronics, but other things, just have things for them to do, especially the younger ones.
Yeah.
And it's always good to, if you have really little ones, like I would say under six, pack a surprise, something that they've never played with before that they would really love. Pack it because, and don't tell them about it until you're on the plane and try to hold off until they start squirming and then give it to them.
So what do you think about people who, you know how you can fly with a kid in your lap until they're 2 years old? Mm-hmm. What's like the minimum amount of hours you would do that? Like when do you hit that threshold where you're
15 minutes.
Alex flew three times her first year cross country because we lived in California and my family lived in North Carolina, and I bought a seat for her every time because, first of all, it's not that safe. Second of all, my leg would just fall asleep, and I just...
That's a long flight, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I can see people, you know...
2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours. Yeah, I can see that, but, yeah. And another thing I would say about that, too, is, you know how some airlines, you have to pay for a seat? Like, you buy your ticket and then there's no more seats left that are free and then you have to, you'd have to pick. I would say that if you really are traveling with a young child and you want to make sure you sit together, just suck it up and buy the seat because people who have purchased a seat are not going to be happy about having to switch to accommodate a kid.
They're especially going to give
you
that.
Yeah, they're going to give you the look, you know, and so just be aware of that. I mean, I give a lot of slack to kids, but I remember one time we were flying to California and this one family had a baby and my daughter Ellie was about 8 and that baby was crying and she was like, shh, trying to shut
Ellie was.
And I was so embarrassed. I'm like, Ellie, that could have been you. You can't be that rude. Just stop. Yeah. I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for people, but some people don't, or, just could be not be a good day for them, And so
we did not have the money to get that extra seat, and we got it anyway, because it was just, you're talking, it was either a 3 or 5 hour flight, depending on if we had stops or not, and it was just so much easier. We had a car seat for her, so she slept in the car seat. It was so nice.
Even my son, who was my daughter was a wiggler. There was no way. I'm like, no, she needs her own seat that she can wiggle in because she's going to stand in my lap and do that baby dance that they do. And it would drive me crazy. My son was much calmer. He didn't mind being held and he was easier to hold. And I flew with him when he was like 15 months old. He was just a big baby. He was a big dude and big fat baby. And I did not want to hold him. And we were going to Florida. It was only an hour and a half, but it was hot. And and he sweats and I sweat and we're all so I was much happier carrying on the car seat, like you said. And especially for a really long flight, it wouldn't be a question.
Yeah.
1.5 hours I might have been able to suck it up and do it, but to California, no.
Yeah, by the time my kids were by the time we flew that far, my kids it wasn't an option. We had to buy them seats, so yeah, but I was actually really nervous about because we couldn't all sit in the same row, we were a family of five, and I was nervous about how they would be if they got sat next to a stranger, because one of my kids is a talker, and he yaps a lot, but luckily other people seem to find him charming, I guess, so.
Is that Fox?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, I
just. Yeah.
Well, and as an introvert, I would say to survive your long flight, please do not talk to the person next to you. You're a total stranger. Leave that person alone because it's a long flight.
That can put you to sleep, though.
It's true. It's true. And I would at least pretend to be asleep to avoid talking. So
just put your headphones in.
That should be another podcast. Well, what to do. Choose to take from people next to you when you're on flight.
Yeah, right. Or any trip, so really. Because
if they take their book up and look to read, they don't want to talk to you.
Social behaviors 101.
Yeah, diversion techniques for the annoying guys.
And I've seen Lindsay, I have seen some. A friend of mine just recently pictured, I think she was flying to Minnesota, and some guy had fallen asleep on her shoulder. She took a picture. I mean, it was like open mouth falling asleep on her shoulder. And she's like, or actually it was a woman, and she was traveling with her partner, with her girlfriend. And she was like, and this is not my girlfriend. It was like, this woman was just on her shoulder. Yeah,
now I can't imagine being that out that you're on somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
She was laughing so hard.
Even me hungover, I was not like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I try to shrink. I try to shrink my body mass when I'm on a flight.
So speaking of that, you know, there's actually some, we've talked about sort of business class, and I would say on a long flight, if you can afford to upgrade to business, or if you have miles to upgrade to business, that's a great solution. And especially the super long flights, they'll have lie flat beds and footstools, and, you know, you'll really get waited on, and, you know, you can get something to drink whenever you want, and you have your own private TV, which everybody has now, but it's bigger. And so that's a really great option. When we flew to Hong Kong, we flew Cathay Pacific, and in their economy class, their standard, you know, cattle back of the plane, they have these shell seats. So when you recline, instead of reclining into somebody's lap, which is the world's most annoying thing, mm-hmm. it's actually like a shell. So you sort of, the seat slides down.
Oh, cool.
So you're not actually backing up on them. You're sort of, your butt's just getting scooted out a little bit more, and it has more leg room anyway. So, you know, it never hurts. You know, if people talk about Emirates, which I haven't had the chance to fly yet, but I've heard that their economy class is better than some American carriers first class.
Yeah. Cause so, they keep shrinking that leg room. Mm-hmm. I'm tall and my knees touch the seat in front of me. You know, it's like, I don't even know. I don't know how to get much smaller. And then I had this woman.
Yeah. There's only so much you can do.
I guess I could lose weight, you know, but there was this woman. There was a woman beside me on the way back from LA, and she was this tiny older woman, and she sat cross-legged, like Indian style, the whole way home. Blew my mind. I thought, I was like, wow, because I can't sit like that now anyway, because I'm so stiff. But yeah, it's interesting that she didn't take up that much space.
Yeah. Yeah. And, actually that just reminded me of another thing. One tip that a lot of people say is take off your shoes because your feet will swell. Just, don't wear your stinkiest sneakers.
Yeah. Cause I'm never telling that tip to my daughter.
Yeah. Really? Like, pack your new shoes.
Like, and then, it's okay. Cause she won't listen.
And I do actually, I actually pack like fuzzy socks or something so that I can change my socks so that I'm not wearing the same ones that I've been walking to the airport.
Good idea.
Yeah. And they're nice and cozy.
I wear like my running shoes a lot because a lot of times when I travel, I'm running too and they're heavy and I don't want to put them in my suitcase. So a lot of times those are the shoes I have on.
Yep. Well, just take them off early in the flight before they start cooking the food. What are they burning in the kitchen? What is that? That's nasty.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlander.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. You can even email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Amy, Elizabeth, and myself, Robin, thanks for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.